Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Thursday means it's Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Our author today is also a columnist for The Federalist and a contributor at the New York Post. Eddie Scarry's latest book, Traitors, The Democrat Party's Collapse into Anti-American Filth. And it gets, I think it's extremely accurate. Gets right to the point. And I'm telling you, it just worries me what tomorrow will look like, given what today looks like compared to yesterday with the Democrat Party. I mean, it just seems as if, well, the title describes it.
Absolutely. You can look at one thing after another today, including the way Democrats talk. I was just listening to an interview recently with Gavin Newsom, Democrat governor of California. And he was explaining how he felt that the Democrat Party needed to be more culturally normal, less culturally weird. And he followed that up by saying, you know, we need to talk less about these pronouns and the gender issues. Well, you can talk less about them, but that doesn't make the problem go away. The problem still exists. And it is just that the Democrat Party on every single issue is fundamentally anti-American, meaning at odds with our traditions, our customs, what generally the population has believed for so long in this country. You look at how they approach crime. They're in favor of it because they oppose more policing. You look at how we believe in strong borders, appropriately managed immigration, and Democrats don't. They resist every single effort to manage the border, including deporting anyone who's in the country illegally. I always like to remind everyone that a sitting Democrat senator left this country to go to a foreign nation, El Salvador, to re-import a self-professed illegal alien. That is how serious they are about opposing any efforts on the border. They don't believe in free and fair elections. We saw what they did last year. I hope we never get over it. How they just switch out their nominee, a sitting U.S. president, install someone to be their nominee, all the while attempting to bankrupt, imprison their leading political opponent. And that's when they're not trying to keep his name off the ballot. And then ultimately, there's an attempted assassination on him. You just look at every single issue, again, that Democrats say they believe in. They'll tell you they believe in a strong border. They say that they believe in policing, and yet every single thing they do is at odds with what Americans want and what Americans have traditionally stood for.
One of the brilliant minds on The View in the last few days made a comment along the lines of, you know, when Trump dies, there's going to be a lot of people who cheer. And I thought it was such a clear look into the minds of the people on the left that once upon a time, if that had been said, the left would have recoiled at the accusation. They would have said, we would never do something like that. But today, not only are they openly acknowledging it, but they see it as virtuous. And it's just that mindset, I think, really captures what you're writing about here, and that it's anti-American filth.
And that's such a good point, because I was, as a matter of fact, thinking about it right before we got on this phone call. I think about it a lot, and it was just really, really upsetting, disturbing, heartbreaking in a lot of ways. To your point, when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, there was a period of time when such a thing might happen, there were some people, some nasty people who got online. They did it on their private Facebook, or they did it anonymously in the comments section at the Huffington Post, where they might say something crass, like, oh, well, he got what he deserved. He got what was coming to him. Now, what Democrats and their base does is they go on TikTok with their full name, their full picture, where they work, their biography, and they say, I am so glad that he's dead. I'm so glad he was just shot in front of children in public. They say things like that, and it infiltrates every other aspect of their life when they say that they're afraid for our democracy, and yet every single thing they do is to undermine our democracy. I hope we never forget what happened last year, just what the sitting president went through and still somehow managed to eke out a landslide win, winning every single swing state. You had the full, the full national news media, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, The New York Times, the Washington Post, all swearing that if this person won, Donald Trump won, that's the end of our democracy,
right,
while lying in every single way, allowing the new nominee to disavow every single position she had held up until that moment. Everything she had said about the economy, about immigration, about crime, everything. She did a complete 180 on that, and the media said that was fine. That's completely okay. That's not a free and fair election. Don't tell me how you're the party of democracy if you're just going to completely lie, pretend that everything we just went through didn't happen, all because you can't stand the idea that the voters will choose something else. They don't believe in that.
We're talking with Eddie Scarry. The book is Traitors, the Democrat Party's Collapse into Anti-American Filth. I open up talking about I fear what they will demonstrate tomorrow. And every time I think, surely they cannot think of a more depraved position to take. But I think about the context of the war against Iran and how we've recently heard some Democrats saying that when it comes to this enemy, these terrorists that have been killing off Americans over the years, that have fully declared we're the enemy, they want to wipe us off the map. And in our action, a number of them have said that we should believe them over our own president, that when it comes to whom it is that you should trust, it should be leadership of the Iranians. And then you even pull into the fold some of these elected Democrats that put out a produced video telling Americans who are serving their country that it's their duty, if there's something that they believe is illegal, to defy those orders while then declaring this war illegal. And I think I just don't know what more they can do to demonstrate that they are giving aid and comfort to the enemy, that they are enemies of the United States through their own words and actions. And I'm just profoundly astonished at the levels they've gone.
Right. And I think nothing comes second. I do think it is the premier defining quality of the modern Democrat Party is just undermining over and over again, eroding our understanding and our agreement on what the rule of law is and how it applies to everybody and should apply to everybody. They rather instead believe in locking people up, chasing them down with lawfare. Look at what they do with the Supreme Court. Every single decision before it comes out of any kind of political consequence, they sow doubt. They prep the public to not have faith that these are reasoned, logical, legitimate conclusions that the court has reached. That, you know, they did it with the immunity, executive immunity that the president has. The Supreme Court essentially said, you know, the president, with all the responsibilities and stress that comes with that job, he can't possibly execute that job believing that once he's out of office, he's going to be imprisoned and chased down by the political opposition. That should apply to any president on any side. And yet you saw the media, you saw Democrats, you saw liberals come out and say, well, that's going to allow the president to just shoot somebody.
Right.
Whenever he said that he wanted to shoot somebody in the middle of New York street, he meant it. And look, he can get away with it. And that's the type of stuff they say so that the public, that voters lose faith in the system. Because when you lose faith and you're demoralized and they make those arguments, they're saying, put us back in power. Give us back the power, because they fully well want to do the things that they accuse the other side of wanting to do.
I worry greatly that when you have one political party that, as you've noted, it's not even an alternative as a political party within the American system. It is an anti-American party. And just even aside from some of these subject matters we've been talking about, the insanity of the things that they propose and focus on, whether it's, you know, forcing girls to shower with boys and you know, tampons and men's bathrooms, and you know, or all the way up to openly siding with the enemy during a war. The opposition to that, the Republican Party, should win 90% of elections in that context. And yet here we are at a point in which it looks like Republicans have already surrendered the House and are questioning whether they'll hold on to the Senate. And I worry what that means about the country, about the Republican Party, that in what should be, without question, just a slaughter, given the Democrat Party, that it isn't. I mean, it's very worrisome.
For sure, and I 100% agree. And as much as I hate the Democrat Party as anti-American, it is Republicans really, especially of late, do not give voters much to say, no. Yeah, I'm going to go out and vote for them. They really haven't on so many levels. They've just completely, as you said, surrendered everything. Where is the legislation on anything? And it's like everyone and every Republican in Congress says, well, we're just waiting to hear from the president. Well, the president does have things to do.
Right.
He is dealing with wars abroad. He has foreign policy. He has China. He has Israel. He's got Ukraine. He's got Russia. They passed the legislation that he put through last year. There is only so much he can do, which is not to absolve him of any responsibility. Mm. But they're not without agency whatsoever. But one thing I will say to a point you raised about the Democrat Party as an alternative to the Republican Party, that I also find very interesting when Democrats of late, they come out and say, well, we have to offer an alternative to the Republican agenda. My question to that always is, what is the alternative to securing the border? What is the alternative to immigration law enforcement? What is the alternative to more policing? What is the alternative to, you know, lower taxes for the middle class? What is the alternative? You know, just take any issue. Tell me what the alternative is to that. Tell me, when you raise, what is the alternative to believing that minors should not be in any way having their biology and chemistry tinkered with by a doctor when they don't need it? Tell me what the alternative to those things are. And you'll watch. Anytime a Democrat comes out and says, yeah, we've got to offer the alternative. I was listening to Ben Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, who they think is going to run for president. Similarly, just comes out and says, we have to give them tangible things. Okay, well, tell me what the tangible thing is that is the alternative to all of these positions. Just everything they believe in when they say that, again, is just anti-American stuff.
Well, and there also was that period of time after the election in which it was openly talked about the recognition that the Democrat voters wanted their party to, quote, fight harder. And I'm thinking, you call the opposition Nazis, you throw them off the ballot, you try to imprison them, you try in some capacity to murder them, and I'm not really sure how much harder you can fight. You're just fighting wrongly, but I always thought that was somewhat humorous, as if they were these soft little kittens that just weren't putting up some sort of ferocious fight.
Exactly, and you see things like the president, when he put all the portraits of past presidents and current president up in the Rose Garden, and one of them was Joe Biden. It was the pen, the auto pen instead of Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be this giant affront to the office of the presidency, degrading. Okay, well, let's talk about what Joe Biden, if that's the retaliation against the former president, if that's the retaliation for him sicking his Justice Department again to either bankrupt or throw in prison his predecessor, I think that things are going just fine for them.
Yeah.
So this idea that they have to, as they'll often say things like, you know, we're bringing a pen to a knife fight. Okay, well, you know, you brought everything you had aside from a gun. And actually, I wouldn't even rule that out.
Right.
If you look back at the record, they brought everything they had to actually zero out this opponent, truly zero him out. And also his supporters, mind you, because there were people they were throwing in prison for, you know, showing up at school board meetings, protesting abortion clinics. What happened on January 6th, which I always remind people did not happen in a vacuum, that proceeded months and months of liberals burning down cities, holding cities hostage, all because they wanted to win an election, causing billions of dollars in damage. People died. Okay, well, January 6th, yeah, if people were a little bit upset about that, the opposite side was a little bit upset, you might understand it a little bit. That doesn't justify it, but you might understand it. You might consider that reality.
Our author of the week, Eddie Scarry, the book Traitors, the Democrat Party's Collapse into Anti-American Filth. And final question, I know that, I'm sure you hear it all the time, the frustration is framing it earlier as atrocious and anti-American. The Democrat Party, as Republicans, still somehow can't seem to manage to not only not have a landslide, but potentially not lose. So what hope is there? What is it that Americans can look to that gives them some sense of hope?
There is the truth that the president tends to land on his feet, and thusly we all tend to land on our feet. So if we feel like we're in a dark period right now, we have seen this before, and we have come out at the end, and there has been light at the end of the tunnel, whether we don't see it right now or not. So I am not a doom and gloomer. I'm not a black pillar. I don't think all is lost, but time is running out. Time is running out. I hope that things start to turn around, especially as things kick in. We were looking at the Treasury Secretary, who's been telling us all along, within the first quarter of this year, the economy should really start bouncing in new ways, and the vibration should be getting a lot better for some people. I'm still hopeful. Again, that deadline's coming up very soon, in about a little less than a month, I think. But like I said, we have seen situations before where it seems very dark, very uncertain, and yet the president, brings us with him, where he lands on his feet, and I'm hopeful that that can happen again. Don't lose hope.
Our author of the week, Eddie Scarry, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, where you can get the book Traitors, The Democrat Party's Collapse into Anti-American Filth, for Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.